this year we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And we've been talking about putting the pieces together. And this week, I noticed that Art was wearing this really old shirt that he wears sometimes when he's working in the yard or sometimes hiking, although it's really raggedy. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's the right shirt for this sermon series. It actually is a shirt from when he donated blood. So it's an American Red Cross shirt and lifts up donating blood. But it says, you are the missing piece. And it fits so well with this series on connecting God and the world, the church in mission. So last week we began with kind of a grounding in what we mean and how we understand mission. And today we're going to talk about our youth who have been in mission, but in a little bit different context. Sometimes thinking of ourselves as the missing piece in God's work in the world can involve us taking a risk to try new things. Our youth are setting an example for us with that. And so today I'm going to be talking about, taking a risk to try new things and thus become one of God's missing pieces in the world. The scripture that we're going to hear in a few minutes is from the book of Romans and talks about how we are part of the body of Christ and what we're called to do and be. And I'm going to lift up that scripture in the message then in a few minutes.
The first scripture reading today is from Romans 12, verses 1 through 3 and 9 through 11, found on page 161 and 162. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you.
Go back to verse 1.
Sorry. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. God, we know that you see the suffering that exists all around us, and we confess that there are days we feel swallowed up by it all and wish for a means of escape, a way to feel numb, a place to hide. But then we remember that with music and song, community and friendship, you draw us back into the world to do your work. Amen. So I'm going to invite you to think about something for a second, and then we'll see if maybe there's one or two of you that might actually want to say something. Who has recently taken a risk to do something new? Who among us has recently taken a risk to do something new? Something on your mind? Who's done that? Who's taken a risk? Mary? You took your nephew ziplining. That was good to get us started. Who has has taken the risk to do something new. Who? Sandra? You took part in the play Friday night. Yeah, quite a few of you did that. It was a lot of fun. Was there a hand over here? Okay, Elizabeth. Well, you took the risk to start something new, started studying Spanish. So let's think for a minute about the things that we might be asked to do, taking a risk to do some things that we believe God is asking us to do. How about taking a risk to do something that you believe God is asking you to do, especially something new? Now, sometimes that can be something personal. It can be a relationship, starting a relationship or getting out of one. It can be a friendship that is presented to you that you take the risk to be involved in because there's some prodding from God's Spirit. God's saying, yeah, that's somebody that you really could come to know. Maybe it's God prodding you to do something for your health that you know God is asking you to take the risk. Maybe it's taking the risk to come to church. There are a few of you here who are new. Maybe it took a while to take that risk to come to church or back to church. But God is prodding you in some way to come and take the risk to do something new. How about signing up for a class or a mission project? Signing up to visit those in need. Some of you have been hearing or reading about our multi-site team, our task force, that's looking at the possibility of starting a second site for St. Mark somewhere north of here. And I got the invitation, along with a couple of other people on our team, to be part of a training program that starts in September in Dallas called Churches Planting Churches. And I'm taking the risk to do that new thing to see where God might lead us. We don't know yet where God might lead us. Maybe nowhere, but maybe somewhere. And so I and the others are taking a risk to go to this Churches Planting Churches training. You know, the Apostle Paul challenges us in the book of Romans. Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he's not in Rome. But Paul has done all kinds of things to be stretched by God. And he's planning to go to Rome, and he writes a letter ahead of time. And in part of it, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, we don't talk a lot about sacrifice language, but back in those days, the people would have understood that a sacrifice is something you were offering fully and completely to God because they believed, we believe, that God will do a good thing with that. So the scripture tells us to offer ourselves, and it's not just our minds or our spirits, but to offer our bodies in the service of Christ Jesus, the whole thing of ourselves offered to God. What keeps us from risking new things, even when we deeply sense and deeply know that God is asking us to do so? Well, the biggest thing is our fears, right? There's all kinds of fears that kind of plague us. And I was very intrigued by one of the devotions in the Upper Room Disciplines this past week. I read that every day. I know that many of you do too. Not the Little Upper Room book, which I also love, but in the Upper Room Disciplines. And the woman who was writing wrote this, and it's so good that I'm going to share a couple paragraphs with you. She says, often in life, our fears obstruct our wisdom. Fears flaming and screaming and whimpering distractions keep us from our path. Fear is so often the enemy of what is good. And she goes on to talk a little bit more about fear and then says, you know, we know that even the brave are not fearless. You think about that for a minute. They are often very afraid, and for good reason, but they act upon their conviction anyway. Perhaps wise people simply know how to prioritize their fears. They are not fearless, but they fear some things less than others. A wise person may think, I fear the loss of my integrity more than I fear the loss of a job. I fear the loss of self more than I fear the consequences of being true to myself. I fear being silenced more than I fear being disliked. Perhaps the beginning of wisdom lives in an explicitly Christian version of these statements. I fear denying God, not because I am afraid of punishment or wrath, but because I know I could miss out on an adventure, meaning, and purpose. The writer invites us to move into our fears and see where God would lead us. So that's one thing that keeps us from risking new things. Sometimes we are kept from risking new things because we are sure already about our views and our opinions, and we don't want to move outside of those. Like, you know that this is one of the difficulties of the church nowadays is the kind of the rampant abuse by Catholic priests and also in the Protestant tradition by people. And so people who are outside of the church will say, you know, I can't be part of the church because everybody must be like that, right? So people get very sure about their opinions, very sure about being right. And in that case, it's up to us to show a different way. But we, I think, are guilty of that sometimes too, that we're so sure about how we feel or think about something that we can't risk trying something new because we're sure about what we already believe and know. And risking something might challenge our views or our points of view or point us in a different direction. And the Apostle Paul has something to say about that too. He said, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And sometimes we are reluctant to try new things because the needs and the tensions and what we see all around us seem overwhelming. And truth be told, some days we'd rather just run away and hide somewhere rather than step out in faith, letting God lead us and guide us into risking something new. And that is legitimate. I feel like that about 5 times a week. It's just so overwhelming to think about going out and serving God in the world. Today we get to hear from 2 young people who took the risk to do something new when there was a sense that God was asking them to do that. And I'm going to invite you to listen carefully. It's a very short video. It's a little bit of background. Our church has been involved with youth and Sierra Service Project youth missions for 30 years. Young people go to Native American reservations in the West or to urban areas and participate in building projects at homes for people who in need or people who need help in a variety of ways. And SSP is for senior high youth, 9th through 12th grades. For the last 13 years, our church has also hosted middle school mission for youth in grades 6 to 8 who stay at St. Mark's for a week, for several days at the end of May, and go out into the community to do a variety of mission projects. So again, listen closely to the stories of these 2 young people.
I'm Addison, and I'm going to be a sophomore this year. Sierra Service Project is a mission organization with sites along the western coast, Utah, and Arizona, and it gives youth an opportunity to go work on construction projects in homes and throughout the community for a week at a time. It's my favorite part of the summer because I get to go make connections with God and make connections with other youth from all over, and it's really awesome. This year, I was able the homeowner for my home. His name was Michelle, and I was able to form a friendship with him. He fled. He actually fled the Holocaust in from France before World War II, and it was cool. He could speak French, and he would come out and talk to us during lunchtime, and it was really awesome. And I was also able to make friends with people from other churches in California and Tempe. And even though we don't live near each other, we're still friends and we'll be friends for a really long time. And I learned about God and about how different people experience God in different ways. And it was super cool to open up my eyes to a whole new God and deepen my faith. And I loved it so much that I invited my friend Sydney to SSP this year with me, and it was even more amazing to watch her make connections that I had made my first year with the staff and with the other campers, but also to watch her deepen her faith in God.
Hello, some of you may have seen me around church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Daniel, and I'm 12, and I'm going into 8th grade. This was my second year at middle school mission, and it was really fun. I was really excited to go in, and I was happy that I went. Me and my friend Luis, we went into middle school mission, ready to work, and we made a lot of friends along with, you know, working. For those of you who don't know what middle school mission is, you must not have been around at, like, the end of May, because we were invading your campus. Anyways, we go around, like, Tucson, helping those in need, and it's really a great way to make friends and, well, help others, and we really learned a lot. I learned how I, as a young person, can really help others in need that are less fortunate than me. I think my favorite mission was the Ronald McDonald House, because, well, I got to make food for others, and that really made me happy. And plus, I got to eat some, too.
So, did you hear them? You hear them? Even though both Addison and Daniel have done mission work before, every time is new. They took a risk. They went to new places. They met new people. They learned about people who are different from them. They served in Jesus' name. They stayed away from home. Nobody's mom or dad is making them do this. They have been inspired by their parents, their pastors, their youth leaders, their Sunday school teachers, older youth, and one another, such that they want to invite other people, Sydney and Luis, showing us the way with that. What makes them and us willing to take the risk to embark on new things, especially when we sense that God is prodding us? Well, one of the things is that we have a community around us. They have a community of people that they trust, so they are not alone. They are willing to do this. They have each other and their youth leaders, but they have all of you backing them up. And they know this, that there is a community of people around them. I'm taking this particular moment to thank their chaperones who hung out with them at Sierra Service Project or Middle School Mission, and to thank all of you for being part of their community. Another reason they're able to do this is that they receive something for themselves. They receive relationship with those they serve. Another reason is that they trust. They have this faith that God is with them, that God has led them and us and will guide us and never leaves us alone. They have a strong faith that is an inspiration to us, that knowledge that God is with us. And they also want to show their faith in action, to do things for Jesus, to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. They are willing to take the risk and serve, to live for Christ with all of its risks. And the Apostle Paul, the biggest risk taker, set off whenever God told him to go, willing to go and change directions. He had a deep faith that God was present and he and that God had sent Jesus. And he reminds us to let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Do not lag in zeal, but be ardent in spirit. Well, you know what happens at this point in the message, right? Don't you? I say, what does this mean for us? How is God asking you to risk a new thing in order to grow in faith and serve God better? Well, sometimes we need attitude adjustment, either because we feel so strongly that we can't do something, or it's not the right thing, or we object to something. And to have that attitude that, you know, I probably don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to learn and grow and to set aside an assurance that I'm always right and that I can have an opportunity to grow as I learn and serve. So I invite you to think about being part of a new class this fall. We mentioned earlier that Disciple 1 and 2, also Jesus and the Gospels, which are long-term classes. They're a commitment to say, I'm going to take the risk to be part of something every week for this school year and learn and grow and develop a community with the people who I'm in the class with and to learn how to serve you even better. I want to invite you to think about what mission project you can be part of this year. All kinds of opportunities in our mission brochure. We're talking about this over a number of weeks. Now, you can't really go on Sierra Service Project or Middle School Mission. I'm really sorry to tell you that. But there's a variety of ways that you can support those youth and serve yourselves, serve on Jesus' behalf in our church and in our community. You know why we would do this? Why we would take the risk to be part of a class or to serve in a mission project or in a variety of ways? Because then we get to have a community around us, a community of love and support. We get to grow in our faith. We get to fulfill a need that we have to serve and to give. It reminds me of this part of the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life. I invite you to this day to listen to God's prodding, to take the risk to try this or do that, and let the youth lead us, and remember that God is always with us. Remember that sometimes you are the missing piece in God's work in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.